Hello, Young Professionals. Eddie Chostovich here, the Editor-in-Chief of Impact by IEEE Young Professionals. Today, we have a very interesting guest here with us. His name is Matthew Trotter, and Matthew is the IEEE Young Professional Representative on the Council for RFID. But besides that, Matthew is also involved with the Georgia Tech Research Institute, where he conducts some very, very exciting projects, and he's going to tell us all about that today. So first of all, welcome, Matthew.
Thank you.
Now, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, who is Matthew, and how did you arrive at the location where you are here today?
Sure. Well, I grew up in Texas, kind of a big ego state, and I think very highly of myself. But when I got to college, I learned a lot about engineering, and I got knocked down a couple pegs, and I thought, where am I going to go? Well, I had certain aptitudes in engineering. Electrical engineering really fit me. And then I kind of just fell into grad school and research and RFID. It just really appealed to me. The act of harvesting RF energy out of the ambient and doing something with it just seemed very appealing. So that's how I got into it. And from there, I did some conferences. I did a postdoc. And I currently work in the defense industry for Georgia Tech Research Institute.
So you mentioned that RFID appealed to you. Where did you study? And what was it that really appealed to you about RFID at the time?
Okay. So I studied at a lot of places, but at first it was the University of Texas at Austin. At that point, I wasn't into RFID. It was just electromagnetics, some of the linear algebra, differential equations, some of the more complex mathematical subjects I really liked. And I was more of a theoretician at the time. Then I went to Georgia Tech for grad school, where I specialized in electromagnetics, and it fell into energy harvesting for RFID. It's very communications heavy, it's very electromagnetics heavy, and it was a good application. It seemed like I was semi-sort of saving the world in a sense, and that's how I got into it.
So for our listeners who are not aware of energy harvesting, give us an overview of what is energy harvesting and why is it so important?
Sure, yeah. You may not know it right now, but you're sitting in a bath of energy. And it's on the level of nanowatts to microwatts, but it's there. And even though we don't get cancer from it, you can actually harvest it and do something useful with it. So for instance, you could harvest microwatts or nanowatts of DC power and power up a little integrated circuit, do some computations, and take some sensor measurements or something and do something with that.
So where would you see the applications of this type of technology, given that we're expanding into the world of Internet of Things where everything is connected? How do we power all of these devices?
Right. Yeah. If you've got millions of sensors attached to things in a warehouse or on bridges to test vibration or, you know, up in the sky on a UAV, you don't want to be draining battery power. And we're on a power line. You don't want to be replacing batteries everywhere and doing maintenance. So what you do is you have a batteryless circuit, which requires zero maintenance whatsoever, and you would definitely, it definitely behooves you to harvest as much energy out of the ambient as possible. So that's why we have energy harvesting, and it's an exciting field. It's always changing, and this year's RFID conference, you'll see a lot of energy harvesting research going on.
This seems like such an exciting space to really capture what is already there and utilize it more efficiently. Now, let's go back to your work and where you currently work, but I'm also interested in hearing about where you have worked in the past and how you've ended up at the Georgia Tech Research Institute.
Yeah, so I guess my PhD work is pretty interesting. My postdoc work is so the energy harvesting technique that I worked on is called power-optimized waveforms. It's POW for short, and we like that because it sounds like a comic book type of word. But basically, for you engineers out there, if you know what a rectifier is, a half-wave rectifier, a diode connected to a capacitor, that will convert any sine wave into a DC power or positive voltage type signal. The standard way of harvesting energy from the ambient is to receive that sine wave at whatever frequency you're harvesting from, like say for instance 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi, and convert that energy into DC power using a rectifier. Well, sine waves don't happen to be the most efficient signal to use to harvest RF energy. So instead, you use a POW, a power optimized waveform, and it's a very high peak to average power ratio type waveform. So very large voltage peaks, but very low average power. And so by doing that, you increase the amount of DC power you get through the rectifier, and it provides 10, 20 dB of extra power. When you're dealing with microwatts and nanowatts, it's extremely valuable.
So from your PhD, where did you go from there?
So from there, I went into localization of RFID, and I went to work at Disney Research. As many of you may know, ESPN was owned by Disney, and ESPN was very interested in looking at tracking an NFL football during the football games and during NCAA games. And, you know, that would be like a very attractive thing to show on TV during live broadcast to say, like, you know, here's the ball, even though it's covered up under the pile, here's where the ball is. You can tell where, did he score a touchdown, did he get that first down, you know, you can see the benefits. Well, there we, I looked into active, what we call active RFID, where the football is a transmitter, right, and we're trying to locate it. And so I spent 2 years at Disney working on that, and it turned out pretty successful, but in the end, it didn't quite meet all the requirements, so I had to put a stop to it.
It's fascinating. I mean, we know how much technology is being involved in the latest sporting participation, how we consume sporting information is being changed by technology, but it's fascinating to hear that we have IEEE volunteers being involved in these types of projects. Mm-hmm. Now, beyond your work at Disney, where did you go next?
So actually, it's a funny story. I was at an IEEE RFID conference while I was at Disney. And just through that network, my current employer found out about me and my background and my skills, and they wanted to hire me. So I went to go interview for them, Georgia Tech Research Institute, and the defense contractor. And I currently work in the area of electronic warfare, which is very comms heavy, very electromagnetics heavy, a little bit of energy harvesting involved there, and that's how it spread. I've been there for 3 years now.
You made a very good point there. So you went to a conference and you met someone at the conference. Mm-hmm. How important is it for young professionals and in general professionals to network, and what can we do to encourage more young professionals to get out there and meet people?
Yeah, I would say it's almost a necessity to network, because I've tried to submit my resume to online job applications, and, you know, I'd scour Raytheon and Boeing and all the big companies for jobs and stuff, and I would send my resume. I get a few nibbles here and there, but, you know, it was really my network that got me the job. And I love it. My network within my company is huge now. Outside my company is big now. I feel very comfortable with that, and it's just a great benefit to have a big network of professional engineers, you know, around me. That's what IEEE is.
So IEEE has over 400,000 members, of which 120,000 are young professionals. It is a vast pool of volunteers who are interested, who have common interests, as you and I do. Mm-hmm. I don't think many young professionals are aware of all the opportunities. So let's touch back on, you know, the Council of RFID that mm-hmm. you're involved with. Mm-hmm. Why should young professionals, and for that matter, any IEEE member, be involved with RFID? What is so exciting in this particular field?
RFID is fantastic. It is a very niche application that touches on so many different engineering disciplines. Not only electrical stuff like, you know, comms and ICs, but also mechanical things like package design and thermal design, and how do you transfer heat and all that kind of thing. Some of the bigger technologies are presented at RFID conferences. So if you're interested in RFID or the Internet of Things space or the wireless sensor space, it would be very beneficial to you to join CRFID, the Committee on RFID. We run two of the biggest conferences in the area, and we are also seeking to just increase our influence with RFID research, academic research, and industry research as well. So we're the focal point for the RFID space in the entire world.
So there may be many individuals who are interested in RFID work or RFID conferences. How do young professionals from all over the world get involved with RFID?
Simply, you just go to our website, www.IEEE-RFID.org. From there, you'll get all the information, including links to our conferences. We have one in the USA and one somewhere around the world rotating every year. You can just go there. You can meet people. We're all very friendly. And you'll have a great time. You'll learn a lot of things. You'll meet a lot of people from the RFID industry, which is a very niche and extremely fast-growing industry, might I add. So, you know, companies like Samsung, Alien, companies like Impinj, Intermec, a lot of big RFID and IoT companies out there.
Sounds very exciting. Matthew, thank you very much for your time here today.
Thanks, Eddie.
It's been a pleasure speaking to you, and a very interesting life story there of one of our volunteers who has gone on to do some very, very exciting stuff. So, young professionals, once again, Eddie Chustovic here, the Impact Editor-in-Chief. Goodbye to you from Reykjavik, Iceland. Thank you.